And it's time for another round of Oh, the Humanities, looking at humanities scholarship events and research on the UNC campus. A lot of things happening online as well, looking ahead to the spring semester. That is not going to change. One thing that will change, though, is that I'm moving to the morning show. So this is our last afternoon installment of Oh, the Humanities. And for that, we are joined by two special guests, Max Orr in the studio and Lloyd Kramer on the phone. Both of them head up Carolina Public Humanities. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Lloyd, good to be with you on the phone. Max, good to be with you in person. How are you?
I'm fine, Aaron. It's good to hear from you.
We both waited to see who would go first, and we're just too polite. I'm fine, and Lloyd, you are well, too. You still in Florida?
Yes, I'm leaving tomorrow to go back to Chapel Hill, but I've been down here for a couple of weeks.
Well, it is.
But the humanities never sleep. We're like Rust. We never sleep.
Well, you know, I wanted to just quickly, because it was a little tradition of mine to always bring something related to today's date, and I thought about this sort of bittersweet moment of leaving our afternoons behind, but also about you taking off in the mornings, Aaron. So I looked at December 14th, and I was excited for a moment that in 1903, the Wright brothers, and I got all excited, went to test it, but I was like, oh, it was 3 days later when they successfully flew it. But get this, I went back to 1782, and on this day in 1782, the Montgolfier brothers went up in a balloon for the first time. So,
nice.
Yes, you are rising. The symbolism stays, and we're looking forward to your morning ascent. So,
I wonder if that's a coincidence. We've seen a lot of coincidental moments in when we look back at this day in history. Like, oh, this happened on the same day that this other extremely similar thing happened. And I'm always curious as to whether the Wright brothers timed it just so, like, oh, the brothers went up on the 14th, so we should
and
on the
we're
14th
brothers.
As well. Right, exactly.
Well, at any rate, we went. I know Lloyd and I talked, and I'll bring Lloyd in here a little bit just to talk a little bit about how great it's been to work with you, not only throughout this whole period of time that we've had, but also especially in this year and all the things that we've been able to, how difficult it is to reach the public, but how great it is to be able to continue to come in and talk with you like this and reach the public and bring great guests on and bring up humanistic conversations about important topics. Lord knows we had plenty of topics to deal with this semester. So both Lloyd and I are just so thankful for this forum that you've given us and look forward to, you know, finding other ways to do it in the future. But absolutely been a really great time with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's been, how long has it been? 3 years, 4 years that we've been? Three and a half years.
Give us 1 minute at the very end of this to give you a little rite of passage.
Okay.
But we do want to talk a little bit about our upcoming semester, and I guess I'm going to turn it over to Lloyd to talk a little bit about our adventures and ideas to give you a sense of what kind of things we have coming up.
Well, you know, even though Aaron's program is evolving, the humanities are going on in new and creative ways, and we're going to have a series of seminars in the spring on issues such as how people have imagined imaginary lands and magical realities. We're calling this Escape, to give us a way to get beyond the gloom of our own time. We're going to have another program on World War II with the distinguished scholar Gerhard Weinberg. Mm-hmm. But we have a couple of other really interesting programs, one on the question of religious freedom and how it is being managed or abused in different parts of the world. And then one of the themes we've wanted to explore in more detail is how human beings relate to animals. What can we learn from animals? Mm. And so we're going to have a whole seminar on the relation between human animals and other animals. And finally, we're going to have some a program with Matt Andrews on the Olympic Games. So we're going to be exploring both the imaginary world, the past world, and the animal world in new kinds of programs.
I love it. Was the Olympic Games event scheduled for this year and pushed back to next year?
What do you think?
Exactly, because, you know, as historians, we know that time moves in strange ways, and we just had to move the Olympics a whole year. But Matt Andrews, our colleague in the history department, is a terrific teacher on the history of the Olympics. And so we think the Olympics are going to happen in 2021, the 2020 Olympics.
Another thing we're very excited about, of course, is every spring, Aaron, we bring in our Adams Symposium in the Public Humanities. And this year, I've actually brought the book, Elizabeth Anderson, wonderful philosopher at the University of Michigan. She will be the keynote and the sort of built the whole symposium around her ideas. And she'll be giving a talk, this is in mid-April, on the Protestant work ethic and how it relates to the 21st century and what work is like now. And as you notice, this book we're reading...
tell us about the book, because this looks interesting.
Private Government, How Employers Rule Our Lives and Why We Don't Talk About It. This was the book she recommended we read as sort of a primer. We're not sure exactly what she's going to say about the Protestant work ethic, but I do already can see some tie-throughs here about where the work ethic fits in with private government, as what she calls business and who we work for.
It's interesting. I teach American government, and one of the first things that we talk about in class, or the first week of class, is what actually is government in the first place. And we have a couple of just different hypotheticals, like this happens, is it government or is it not? And one of the things that we always talk about is the employer who is able to determine when you come in, when you go, what your salary is, when you're allowed to go on break, when you're not. Like there
your
are
speech.
A lot of exactly,
yep.
Yeah. It's very governmental.
Well, and all kinds of issues now of surveillance and drug testing and different issues that we might think of as governmental functions, but are actually being exercised in the workplace. So it's very interesting.
And in the public square as well, because, I mean, that book is about your employer, but there's also Twitter, Facebook, social media companies that have some control over speech, too. So, yeah, that's fascinating.
So we'll see where this goes with Elizabeth Anderson tying the Protestant work ethic again, since she suggested that we and the fellows, the Adams Fellows in the Public Humanities, read this book in preparation for a conversation with her and with the public, of course. We're kind of curious to see how this will tie together, right? Yeah. The idea of private government and the Protestant work ethic. I'm beginning to see potential connecting lines there, and I'm really excited to see her them out.
I noticed a dog here about 30 pages in. Is that a great page, or is that where you are?
Oh, that's where I am. I treat books horrible. There are two groups of humanists, those who say, you know, treat books very well, and then there are those that just abuse the books as they read them, and I have to say I'm an abuser.
That's my middle ground. I used to take a pen and underline things, and I've improved to dog-earing the pages, so... I'm down with that.
So I should say, in terms of government, we're also planning a series of events at our Flyleaf book series on a kind of retrospective on issues having to do with the elections and how the political situation looks as we go into 2021, both in terms of voting rights and in terms of history of voting rights, but then other issues such as the role of social media in politics. And I think it's going to be a terrific series on the meaning of politics in the 2021 period.
And another great topic in that is, of course, we're going to be talking with John Oberlander about healthcare, because, you know, it just seems like every administration you have a reset and trying to think about, well, what is possible, what has been done to the ACA, what is left, what to build on. And so that should be very interesting as well, and we're looking forward to that. You know, one nice thing about this whole period of time for us was, I know that you know we've had to experiment and do all sorts of things that we haven't done before, and some of those things are going to persist. You know, we know that next semester we're going to be virtual again, and we'll have plenty of opportunities to talk about different programs and whatnot, but eventually we will be live, and we will integrate these things together, and whole new programs like our biography series, I think, will just continue. We have, we're very excited. We have six great biographies, Muhammad Ali, Manteo, the great Native American ambassador, ambassador to London. We have just a wonderful slate of Jack Kerouac and other really great people that we'll be talking about biographies with. And again, all of those are on Friday at noon. And maybe someday it'll be a My Dinner with Andre type thing. And we'll actually sit down and have lunch and it'll be filmed or something. But again, those are, we're going to continue with those in the spring. And we're excited about a, you know, a really nice roster of speakers and different types of
very
events.
Cool. Yeah. How do you see things changing like long term with this, because now we're kind of all accustomed to doing things online, and there's definitely a lot of disadvantages to that, and won't it be great when we can go back to being live and in person? I think one very big advantage is you can now bring in people from all over the world, literally, to speak and also to participate in and hear. So how do you preserve that?
Well, I think the goal is, and I'll let Lloyd chime in on this as well, but I think the goal is to try to integrate as much of these things together, you know, to have the best of both worlds, if you will. We certainly know that we've had people coming hundreds of miles to live events, but they don't come every weekend.
Right.
Perhaps they will start coming every weekend if they can, you know, get this virtual experience. It's not quite the same. There's not the wine and the dinner and meeting the faculty and, you know, sort of more informal settings like our weekend seminars have, but we certainly see this great advantage, and we know we've attracted people from across the world and around, certainly around the state. So we're, you know, we think there'll be a good chance to integrate these ideas.
Yeah, Lloyd, add to that?
Yeah, I think one of the things we've learned is that we do have a capability to reach people online, and all institutions are going to be a little different when we finally emerge from the virus and this pandemic. And I think the humanities are going to be a little different, too. We've learned to do something that might be more of a hybrid model, where we have people participating from afar and also people in the same room with us. And I think that the technology will make that possible. And I think we can even think of how radio can be part of that in new ways. So, and I think actually we should bring you in to be a speaker at one of our programs.
I think the same thing.
Because, I want to say, because I know this is our last time to talk about this, but you have such an uncanny sense of why history and politics and literature and philosophy, religious studies, why they matter. And I think you could help us think about the role of the media in engaging these kinds of issues. So as we prepare to say goodbye, we want to begin also to think of the future and how we could involve you in a program.
There'll be a subject line, invitation to speak on some you know, it's absolutely, I was looking, Aaron, as we talk about all that we've done over the course of the last few years together, I was looking at the various lists of programs. And one of my favorite programs, I actually re-listened to it, was talking where I turned the tables.
Yeah.
And I interviewed you about being a public humanist. And I guess I would just re-emphasize or re-ask the question, how do you see your role in the radio as being part of a humanistic project?
I don't think it's changed from my original answer. Like, I mean, I think we talked in that conversation about how I come out of academia, and the things that you write and the things that you say within academia very often only go out to a small kind of siloed handful of people. And with this, you got to think about how to get the word out to a larger audience, and that definitely changes what you say and how you say it. But you do have the opportunity to speak to that larger audience, and it's an opportunity, and it's also a responsibility and a duty to manage that thoughtfully and correctly and well.
I would say you're very lucky to live in a community where there's so many academics to tie into,
true.
And things
yeah.
going on for
yeah.
sure.
So one other thing I would say about the humanities and also the media is, or the press more generally, is that they're both essential for a democratic society, mm-hmm. that we need information, we need reliable, evidence-based information, which a good radio program provides, but we also need the perspectives of history that the humanities provide. And I think what we've learned over the last few weeks or months is that we can't take democracy for granted. And I think one of the great things about your program is it's been able to give us a chance to think about how the humanities provide a foundation of knowledge, not only for education or for one's own personal life and challenges, but more generally for sustaining the key institutions of public life. So that's why we're so appreciative of the way you understand the value of the humanities.
Well, thank you. Again, speaking with Max Orr, Lloyd Kramer, the Humanities is the feature. Carolina Public Humanities is the initiative. On campus, humanities.unc.edu is the website. And we do have to start wrapping up the conversation.
I do want to wrap it up with a little rite of passage for us, since we are.
I don't know what this is about to be.
So we do this thing at Carolina Public Humanities where every time someone comes to one of our programs, a weekend seminar, we keep track of it. And then we hit sort of milestones, 25, 50. And if you hit 25, you become what's called a program in the humanities giant. Now, although we are in the humanities are not good with math, I am able to count. And I would just like to say, Aaron Keck, you have produced 115 episodes
Whoa.
So of this show with us. And so we would like to say the Carolina Public Humanities and the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill are pleased as punch to name Aaron Keck an honorary PhD Program in Public Humanities Giant for outstanding service to the Carolina community and excellence in public humanities programming as a host of 115 episodes of Oh the Humanities. With gratitude and our best wishes on this, the 14th of December, 2020. So, Aaron, I'm going to slip this underneath the protective shield here if I can and let you hold on to that there. There you go. So thank you so much. We know that we're going to continue. I certainly hope we get to hear the theme song again at some point.
Yes, which you very graciously wrote. Yeah.
And we know we will continue, but it's nice to put a little bow on this and to thank you for the wonderful, wonderful service you've given Carolina Public Humanities and the entire Carolina community.
Well, the pleasure and the honor and the privilege is entirely mine. So thanks to both of you for all the many times that you've been on with me at this time on Mondays, and all of the people that you've brought in and all the incredible conversations that we've had. I've learned a lot. I hope other people have as well. It's been fantastic.
It certainly has, and we certainly look forward to seeing you in the morning periodically at times.
Well, again, humanities.unc.edu is the website. Lloyd, final thoughts?
I just want to thank you again, Aaron, and now you have a PhD to go with your PhD. And don't ever be afraid to call yourself Dr. Keck, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Kiddo, you can call yourself whatever you want.
Again, humanities.unc.edu for more. Lloyd, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Max.
Bye-bye.